This is the third installment in a series describing some of the 10 Harugei Malchus, the 10 martyrs, who were brutally murdered by the Romans in a period spanning 70 AD, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Great Rebellion, to the Rebellion of Bar Kokhba, in about 132. So it's about a 60-year span. We recite a kinah on Tisha B'Av and a slicha on Yom Kippur to commemorate the brutal and violent fashion, and in a manner which clearly demonstrated that this was not just a momentary passing encounter with a beatable enemy, but signaled the long night of Jewish galus. Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyon, we know very little about who he learned from, whom he taught. We do know that he lived a very, very tragic life. He taught Torah in public, despite the Roman decrees, and for this he was apprehended. Evidently, the need to teach Torah and to be involved in Torah in public is something that fueled a very famous, perhaps the most famous statement of Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyon, Shanayim sheyoshvim vein oskim batara hareze moshev leitzim, that anytime two people interact, not just larger throngs, Torah must be part of that interaction. According to one position, though, he was also part of his punishment was because he had expressed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in public in a way that was meant to be concealed. He was too expressive and too explicit about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as always, is much more strict and severe with tzaddikim. He has an interesting interaction with Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. When Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma dies, he chides him for trying to oppose a Roman Empire that was clearly designated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have some influential role in history. Because even though they had destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they still were powerful. They still were a force to be reckoned with. And when Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyon refuses to cede his ground and to compromise and to withdraw or retreat, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma actually prophesizes and predicts his very, very violent death, I think even by mentioning the manner in which he would die, which I'll describe in a few moments. And it's an interesting statement on two parts. It's an interesting dispute. First of all, the classic question as to what degree you can rely on supernatural intervention. Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyon felt that you could and you should, and studying Torah should not be in any way suspended. And Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma felt that it should. And under these conditions, it may not have been a halacha of Yehareg Vel Yavar. It's a Shas Hashmad, but they're not being over an Isser. They're just not learning Torah in public. It's a very intricate halacha question. But part of it was also recognizing that when forces larger than life were at play, at some point, even without the halacha calculation, at some point, we were meant to stand aside and let history run its course and things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had obviously chosen and selected to be part of a larger historical narrative to allow these narratives to unfold rather than oppose them as forcefully as Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyon suggested. Especially stark was the contrast between Nebuchadnezzar, whose empire came crashing down quickly after his capture and destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to the Romans, whose empire continued to be buffeted and reinforced in many ways. The glory of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash augmented and magnified their sweep and certainly their influence. So it's an interesting conversation between Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma and Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyon. The story, of course, of his execution is probably the most famous story associated with Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyon. Again, we don't have that many statements from him in the Gemara, with little twigs placed within the Sefer Torah wrapped around him to let the entire Sefer Torah sandwich, the body wrapped in a Sefer Torah, catch on fire. But they also, along with the twigs, place some moist sponges or moist towels and rags to slow and to delay the death and render it more painful and more torturous. And two interesting anecdotes about this story. First of all, his daughter, of all people — I'll talk about the daughter in a moment — his daughter, of all people, inquires about how he's suffering and that he's suffering so terribly. And Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyon essentially says, until they wrapped me in a Sefer Torah, I had cause for concern. But now that I'm wrapped in a Sefer Torah and they're assaulting the Sefer Torah, I'm in some ways placated, because I understand that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to intercede against this assault on a Sefer Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intercession to protect the dignity the Sefer Torah will also constitute my revenge, and Hashem intervening on my behalf and seeking the justice that is due me for this injustice. And on the one hand, it's part of the long legacy of Sifrei Torah being burned. Membership of Asur B'Tammuz is meant to commemorate five activities or events, which occurred on the 17th, and one of them was Apostamos, not clear whether he was a Roman or a Greek, burning the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's also a reflection of the twinning between Am Yisrael and the Torah. And there's so many, I spoke about this in one of the shiurim in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, there's so many cross-references between a Sefer Torah and a Jew. And when in such blatant and glaring form the two are twinned, it's almost as if it takes the contest between Jew and Roman to a completely different level, and to a degree almost reminds the Jew of the confidence he's meant to have in the ultimate defeat of the Romans, because it was just highlighting and showcasing the twinning and the merging between a Jew and a Sefer Torah. Second of all, the executioner offers Rabbi Hanina ben Trajon to remove the sponges and accelerate his death and cause him less torture and less suffering if he goes to Olam Haba. And Rabbi Hanina ben Trajon accepts this offer, and the executioner hastens his death, and he himself, if I'm not mistaken, again, I'm recording this on the road, he flings himself into the fire, and one of the Tanaim who was witnessing this event says, that, I think it's Rebbe Yeshkon Olamo B'Sha'achas, that even though this executioner had lived a very degenerate and murderous lifestyle, but that last minute change of heart renders him or enables his entry into Eretz Yisrael and transforms into Olam Haba, and transforms him into a Ben Olam Haba, and Yeshkon Olamo B'Sha'achas. Some people spend an entire lifetime achieving virtue, and other people are able to make that one dramatic decision. Not to equate the two, I think a life of absolute virtue is certainly much more commendable and certainly receives its appropriate result and consequence in Olam Haba, but there is an opportunity for people who have lived very dissolute lives to make that sudden turnaround, that sudden change. Ultimately, after his death, Rabbi Hananiah ben Trajon suffers a lot of indignity. One of his children becomes a thief and is captured, I believe executed by the Romans. His wife dies. His daughter is forced to, I think his wife is executed, his daughter, I'm not sure which daughter, whether it's the daughter from the story of his execution, but one of his daughters is debased and forced to live in the red light district, as we would say, with the prostitutes, with the Zonos, Kubashul Zonos. However, there is a silver lining, and the silver lining places Rabbi Hananiah ben Trajon historically. One of his daughters is none other than Beria, who was the wife of Rabbi Meir, who was one of the renowned women who excelled in Talmud Torah and married to Rabbi Meir. So all of this heroism and all this sacrifice, despite the terrible suffering that it instigated for him and in some of his family, did yield one of the great women of that period.